This is a really big game for the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Chargers on Monday Night Football. This is a really big matchup between John and Jim Harbaugh. This is going to be the third matchup of their brother versus brother NFL career, so that should be fun. But more importantly, when you look at these Baltimore Ravens and these Los Angeles Chargers, their defense has been amazing. They are one of, if not the best defense in the league. I believe they are. With the Baltimore Ravens, overall, their offense has been great, minus last week. Overall, their defense has not been great, minus last week, but overall their special teams, last week in that Steelers game, it was pretty much the same as it's been all year long. But they have a big opportunity on Monday night to have a bounce back game when the world is watching. But with this being such a big matchup, with it having sort of that big fight type of feel, in my opinion, this is a must win game for the Baltimore Ravens. But they could possibly be without some significant names on their roster. Kyle Hamilton, he shares what his possible responsibilities could be. And Lamar Jackson gives a nice quick recap of both his past, present, and sort of the future. Anyway, we're going to get into it shortly. Before we do, make sure you subscribe to the channel, turn them notifications on, and leave a like on the video. Why? Because I love y'all, man. I really appreciate y'all and everything that y'all do. Let's get into it. So, practicing today and not practicing today were the majority of the Baltimore Ravens roster. Most of them practiced, but there were a few that didn't. And they are the following. Sanusi Kane, he has an ankle injury right now. We know, of course, in the Steelers game, he started playing it. Then he got hurt and didn't come back. Arthur Millette, dealing with that calf and hamstring injury. We know with him, he was in the walking boot last week. He got hurt at practice. Has not practiced since. Obviously didn't play in the Steelers game, so he's still dealing with that. Travis Jones, he didn't practice with an ankle injury today. And with Travis Jones, that would be a very, very big blow if he cannot go in this game against the Chargers, because he helps out in so many ways. Doesn't get all the pretty numbers, doesn't get all the pretty statistics and all that stuff, but he does so much of the dirty work for guys like Nnamdi Matabike, for guys like Roquan. He just makes everybody's job that much easier, but he doesn't get the official credit for it. But Travis Jones, we all see you. Us over here, Team Keep It Clean, and really just every Ravens fan, we all see exactly what you be doing. So Ravens, whatever you got to do to get him on the field on Monday night. We got a little extra day of practice now, so whatever you got to do, please, please, please make it happen. Now, surprise who wasn't practicing today was Nelson Agholor. And I ain't know anything about him being hurt or anything like that, so let's see what happens with that. But probably the other biggest name on here that was not practicing was Roquan Smith. We, of course, know he got that hamstring injury against the Steelers last week, and he left the game and did not return. He did stay in his uniform, but he did not get back in the game. He didn't practice yesterday, and even though yesterday was sort of a bonus day for practice, but Harbaugh did provide an update on Roquan Smith. He said that Roquan Smith is working toward the game and he has not been ruled out by any stretch. So that's a good thing. That's a good sign. And I like that, because that lets us know, like, hey, we got some hope. Because normally Friday is the day where, hey, if you practice on Friday, then you play in the game that upcoming Sunday. But with Friday should still be that day, because I expect the Baltimore Ravens to be traveling either Saturday or Sunday, probably Saturday, just to get it out the way so they can get over in the area. They can get adjusted to the time zone as best they can. But whatever they do, Saturday, Sunday, it's going to be super, super light in terms of practice. They might do a walkthrough or something like that. So it ain't going to be nothing crazy. So Friday will be the last real, real day of practice. So we'll see what happens with Roquan Smith then. But in the event that Roquan Smith can't go, because we know Roquan Smith, he got the green dot. So he's the one that relegates the plays to all of the Baltimore Ravens defense, tries to help them get in line. Who would have that responsibility if Roquan Smith can't go, though? It will be Kyle Hamilton. Kyle Hamilton, he brought that up, and he said that he's been wearing a green dot on his helmet all season in practice. So, hey, that's one of those things. Stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. And they said if Roquan Smith can't go, Hamilton said he'll be comfortable relaying the defensive calls if he's asked to. And that's a beautiful thing. And that is probably the best person that we would trust the most in order to make that happen, because Kyle Hamilton, especially with him being the deep safety, obviously he will move around the field and whatnot. He's not going to just be lined up at deep safety 24/7. They're going to move him around a bit, not as much as they used to, but they'll still move him around. But with Kyle Hamilton, he's somebody that has the entire defense in front of him, and obviously the entire offense as well. So he'll be able to see all of that. Kyle Hamilton is a super smart player. He's a super reliable player. And in my opinion, like I've said, and I don't even think this is a opinion. I think this is a fact. So I shouldn't even say I think, because it is a fact. Because you can't think a fact. That would make it an opinion. Anyway, Kyle Hamilton is the best defensive player on the Baltimore Ravens. Not just the best safety, not just the best defensive back. He is the best defensive player on the Baltimore Ravens. And again, that's not a shot at anybody, but that's just letting you know how nice, super duper Kyle is. But that's something that y'all already know. So I think he will be the perfect person. If Roquan Smith can't go, hopefully he can. But if Roquan Smith can't go, then Kyle Hamilton, he'll be calling the shots. Now, somebody who has been given more authority over this past year and a half to call the shots, but on offense, has been that of Lamar Jackson. We watch Lamar Jackson continue to grow. We watch Lamar Jackson just continue to take leaps and bounds and steps forward. Lamar Jackson, just watching him, it's been a beautiful thing just to watch how he's just come so far, man. And stuff with him, it happens so fast. Like, we saw him with Greg Roman. Greg Roman was sort of his introductory offensive coordinator for when he was officially the starter at the beginning of the season in 2019. He went out there, won an MVP. Then in 2020, he did his thing, and then he continued to do his thing. But then there just seemed to be just a stop of growth. And a lot of us were like, all right, I think it's time for the Ravens to sort of move on from Greg Roman. Look, he did his thing. You got no problem with Greg Roman, but I think it's time for the Ravens to move on. But the Ravens decided, no. Greg Roman is here to stay, at least for a little while longer. And he was. And I just feel like, personally, that held back the Baltimore Ravens' offense. It didn't let them grow, because they were capped out. With Greg Roman's offense, it did its thing, but it got capped out. It got maxed out. It reached its full potential, and there was no more room for growth. They had it to grow. I mean, they had to grow. And then I remember so many comments, people saying, oh, if not Greg Roman, then who? Insert Todd Monken. And look what Todd Monken has done, not only for Lamar Jackson, but for this Baltimore Ravens offense as a whole. Todd Monken has been so orchestrated when it's come to making so many different people weapons, making so many different people options in the passing game, in the running game, just allowing this offense not to be so dependent on three people and three people alone. You know, remember in the days of G-Row, it was Lamar, obviously, and it's always going to be Lamar, but it was Hollywood and Mark Andrews. But now, it's pick your poison. And I know last week it was nothing but poison. Seemed like the whole offense got poison. But on a normal week, it's a pick your poison type of offense. So big shout out to Todd Monken. But Lamar Jackson, he was actually asked about his time with Greg Roman. He said, oh, Lamar, because since Greg Roman is the offensive coordinator for the Chargers, and a lot of other previous Ravens players are over there with the Chargers, a lot of even the previous Ravens staff is over there with the Chargers. So, again, they the Baltimore Chargers. They're the L.A. Ravens, whatever you want to call them. But anyway, when Lamar was asked on his time with Greg Roman, he took a pause. I don't know if y'all caught it, but he took a long pause. He was just sitting there for a little minute. And maybe he was thinking, like, why are you asking me that, or what do you want me to say? But that was probably the smartest thing that he could have done in that situation. Because, you know, a lot of times somebody asks us something that we think is, like, not the best question in the world. We may be like, what are you talking about? Why don't you ask me something? Like, what? But if we take a deep breath, pause, step back, and just, that's exactly what Lamar did. And then he just responded. He said, it was good. We had a lot of success. I won my first MVP in G-Roll system. And then he said, but it was short. So, Lamar, he gave the best possible answer that he could give. So shout out to all the PR training that he done got. Shout out to just his mentality. You know, he don't like throwing people under the bus at all. If Lamar will throw you under the bus, then, oh boy, then that means he's done with you for real. And remember that time he did throw G-Ro under the bus, when he was like, the defense out there calling our plays. They know what we're doing. They know what's coming. And when he said it, I was like, whoa. But, I mean, we were at home calling a lot of G-Roll's plays, too.
Now, I know y'all came to this video to talk Baltimore Ravens, and that's what we do all day, every day. But I know you've been peeping a hoodie from Public Rec and saying, man, ain't great. Where can I get one of those at? That's clean. And get this. It's not only clean, it not only looks good, but it feels good, too. It is genuinely comfortable. And y'all know,
Like, y'all see every single video, I do not play about my jackets, and I do not play about my hoodies. I take those things very, very seriously. If it ain't comfortable, you are not going to see me wearing it, especially how long we be talking in these videos for. But anyway, how can you get your hands on not only this Public Rec hoodie, but we got the Game Changer pants as well. And trust me, the bottom is just as comfortable as the top. You see, what Public Rec aims to do is to completely redefine men's fashion by offering versatile, high-quality garments that prioritize comfort without sacrificing aesthetic appeal, making them ideal for a wide range of activities like work, leisure, watching football games, talking about the Baltimore Ravens. Whatever you want to do, you can do it in Public Rec. So stay comfortable this season without compromising style, because with Public Rec's Game Changer pants, you really can have it all. And for a limited time, our listeners get 20% off their entire order with code ENGRAVEN at publicrec.com. That's 20% off with code ENGRAVEN at publicrec.com. So if you're thinking, man, I gotta go get some gas, go fill up the tank in my car, or you know what, I need to go pick up some groceries, or you know what, I just want to take a walk, you hit up Public Rec. Or if you're feeling a little more fancy, like, oh, I got to take my significant other out on a nice little date, I'm feeling fancy tonight, you hit up Public Rec. But again, just in case you forgot, for a limited time only, our listeners get 20% off when you use code ENGRAVEN at checkout. That's 20% off with the code ENGRAVEN at publicrec.com. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support the show and let them know that we sent you. Give yourself or someone you love, or even both, the gift of style and comfort. Now we reach my favorite part of these videos, where we get to feature your questions. Getting straight into it, switch the style up. First one came from my guy Stefan. He said, "Brother Clean, what's good? Pray you and the fam are well. Why did we not bring Ed Reed on as a coach? Because John Harbaugh's there. John Harbaugh will never let Ed Reed or Ray Lewis be a coach under him, because it would be too risky for him, because so many of the team would end up flocking," little pun in there, "but end up flocking to one of those guys." Anyway, he said, "The defense looked good on Sunday. Make White a starter with Marlowe and Nate." I agree. Tre'Davious White should be a starter with Marlowe and Nate. Yeah, I agree. He said, "Also, we can run zone to the wide receiver one side and man on the other side if the sky's right and when we are able to." See, with that, I would take it easy. I would take it a little easy with that. I see what you're saying, but I would just start off small and incorporate that maybe down a roll, but start off basic with just fixing the starters. He also said, "Finally, the Kings should touch the ball no less than 25 times a game. I know Hill is good, but can you imagine that truck on a screen a few times a game?" That's a good point. He said, "Hobbs and Munkin, get your mind right. By the way, I know this game too. I've been a coach for over 25 years. It's still smart X's and O's. Blessings and hashtag Blackbird Bully Ball." Oh, I like that. Jackson out, Hyde. And next questions came from my guy Anthony. He said, "What's up, Engraven? Hope you and the fam are fantastic." We are. I hope you're fantastic-er, even though that ain't even a word. Anyway, he said, "So Eddie didn't travel with the team. Nobody knows why, but what did you think of the Ravens, if the Ravens release him and sign Micah Hyde? God bless and trust." They could do that. They could. And with Eddie Jackson, how much he struggled, who knows if Micah Hyde would struggle just as much as Eddie Jackson did. But he would have to come in, learn the system as well, learn everything as well. And it's what are we on, like week 12? Something like that. I forgot what week we on, but man, we getting deep into the season, man. It's the end of November, December about to be here, and January gonna be, then boom, playoffs. Like, man, that's crazy. It sucks how fast the season goes. But anyway, I guess it couldn't hurt, especially if, like, with Eddie Jackson, he was inactive for the game last week. So they obviously don't see him as a big part of their plans moving forward, I would think. Especially with them now starting Kyle Hamilton and Ardarius Washington at them safety spots, I don't really see Eddie Jackson as a big plan for them in the future. So I guess that couldn't hurt. He said, "Engraven, hope you and the family are amazing." He said, "Short and sour, John gotta go. I'm thinking Matt Nagy, both offensive coordinator and head coach. John's time is done." Well, that'll be determined after this season. But again, like I always say, John Harbaugh, he'll leave on his own terms. He ain't gonna ever get kicked out. Next question came from Alex. He said, "This game has been one of the worst games I've seen from Justin Tucker. I love him, but man, he needs to pick up the slack. Our losses come from him. We win those games without him. Time to move on. I've seen free agent kickers make better kicks than him this season. This season will be over. Imagine if the Super Bowl, we lose to a missed kick by Justin Tucker. Man, it hurts to see his fall off. I used to relax on every kick. Now I worry about every extra point. Love to hear your thoughts on this." Oh, yeah, it's been rough. It's been really rough. And Justin Tucker, he ain't going nowhere, at least during this season. So Ravens are, I don't want to say stuck with Justin Tucker, but Ravens are locked in with Justin Tucker. We got to put a more positive spin on that. They locked in with Justin Tucker. So we just got to hope that whatever the issue is, they get it fixed ASAP. Shaking my head. Next question came from my guy Jay. He said, the family aspect no longer carries weight. This is a business. Let's remember that first and foremost. It's time to fire people. Only this time, it's not the people you're thinking about. Tucker, sorry, but gotta go. Literally lost the game, just like one of your subs said earlier. He's going to cost us games coming down the line, and he literally just did against the Steelers. Those two field goals would have made it 20-18. Without the final touchdown from Zay Flowers. Horrible. Harbaugh gotta go. Like I said, we are not a Super Bowl team. I know it was a division game, but if you can't be your own, you can't beat people in your own division, what good are you? This is pathetic, man. So obviously a lot of frustration here towards Justin Tucker and John Harbaugh. But again, none of them are going anywhere, at least right now. And if one of them were to possibly go somewhere after this season, it's a 99% chance that will be Tucker, way more than John Harbaugh. Next question came from Zara Knight. He said, this hurts bad, man. Everybody's saying it's Justin Tucker's fault, but it's also Lamar's. Most people are very biased towards Lamar, but he just didn't look good today. He held on to the ball too long, and he overthrew likely on what most likely would have been a touchdown. Oh, I like the little double likely right there. Anyway, he said, yeah, Lamar did not play his best. Was it all on him that they lost? He was a part of it. Like I said earlier, and before in previous videos, everybody was a part of it. Harbaugh, Tucker, Lamar, the receivers, Isaiah Likely, Derrick Kent, Justice Hill, everybody, they shared blame in this one for sure. He said, and he overthrew Zay Flowers for a 20-yard gain that would have put us in pit territory. Both were on third down. We aren't a Super Bowl team and don't have killer instinct. And most importantly, we are mentally soft. I want to know, honestly, if you think we are still a Super Bowl caliber team. And just like Lamar against the Chiefs and Steelers when we need them most, I'm out. Yeah, we are. They Ravens are a Super Bowl team for sure. And you said they don't have the killer instinct. I disagree. You saw what they did to the Bills. You saw what they did to the Broncos. You saw when there have been times when they've kept scoring points. They've kept running it up, and that's a good thing. So they have the killer instinct. But they got to have that killer instinct, and they got to get that bully mentality and stop being bullied when it comes to the guys that know their head coach the best, that being Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin. Not only know their head coach the best, but know their team the best. How do they know the team the best? Because they know how the head coach operates. The head coach runs the team. He runs the show. And they know exactly how to get into these Ravens' heads. They know how to play these mind games. Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin do. When it comes to John Harbaugh and these Baltimore Ravens, they know them best. So Ravens just, they are a Super Bowl team, but they will have to get over those humps if they're going to be one. Next question came from my guy Joshua. Man, I ain't heard from you in a little minute, my friend. He said, we're great work with your content as always. Appreciate you. I got a theory that the Ravens keep looking off in the playoffs is because AFC playoff teams are mimicking how the Steelers play against Baltimore. I call it the steel trap. The idea is to play grimy, keep possession, and force Baltimore to beat itself. Penalties, drops, turnovers, awkward offensive play calling, missed field goals. No shade at Harbaugh, but he's not as cerebral as Tomlin in learning how to get a team off their game. Andy Reid and Tomlin sun him every year. I can't argue that. I can't argue that at all. He said, I'm glad this ugly loss happened in November and not January, but what can the Ravens do to get over this hump? Learn from it. You got to learn from it. And it sounds so Harbaugh-ish. It sounds so cliche. Oh, we got to learn from the loss. Da, 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 da. But they really do. And they got to stop letting the Steelers and the Chiefs get in their head so much. They really got to stop that because they do it every time. Every single time. And the Steelers, like, literally took the game away from the Ravens several times. Even though the Steelers were trying to, they tried to be like, look, Ravens, take it. Russell Wilson threw that last interception. He said, Ravens, take it. It's your, we don't want it. But the Ravens said, no, thanks. He said, P.S., it literally felt like we were watching the same struggling playoff Ravens, 2019 against the Titans, 2020 against the Bills, 2023 against the Chiefs. If they can beat the Steelers in week 18, I'll be a believer. If not, let's all prepare for our hearts for another early exit. Yikes. Well, should have seen it coming on that Derrick Henry fumble. Next question came from my guy Sebastian. He said, we really lost versus 6 field goals, man. 2 missed kicks, 2 fumbles, and got bullied on a pick. Wasn't a pick, in my opinion. Hill was down. I agree. He said, why do we keep dropping our pass rushes to cover, man? I celebrated when Marlowe got a pick because when he gets turnovers, Ravens win. Then Zay dropped the pass that hit him in his number. That's when I accepted defeat. What do you think is the sole reason they can't beat the Steelers? Mental. All mental, in my opinion. Mental lapses. Like somebody said in a previous question, the Steelers, like Mike Tomlin, is very cerebral. And he just allows the Ravens to even beat themselves. Like, he ain't even got to do too much. He's like, oh, no, they going to crumble. We just don't get them too many chances with the ball or whatnot. Even if you get them chances, they going to crumble. They going to fall short, and they keep doing it. Like you said, key points for me. Lamar's refusal to run is costing the Ravens. Kyle Hamilton, baller. Roquan back? Yeah, he just got to get that hamstring right, though. He said, Travis Jones is carrying on a $100 million pass rusher. Ooh, that's real right there. Because without Travis Jones, Matt Abike be, like, quiet. But with Travis Jones, he be showing out. Stevens is getting targeted more than all rookies. Shameful. That's true. Rosengarten might be the real deal. He's been doing this thing overall. He's been struggling here and there, but he's been doing this thing overall. Stout got to be the one kicking next game. He said, appreciate the 13 years, GOAT, but it's time. Oof, he talking about Justin Tucker, by the way. Trey White, I see you. We sure do. And Ravens always have that one dumb play every game. That two-point conversion was egregious. Same old, same old. Next question came from my guy, Sean. He said, hello, Engraven. I knew once Henry fumbled that we would lose this game. He never fumbles, and of course, the first time he does is against the Steelers. I think it's more so lost fumble, because I think he fumbled this season actually twice before that. But anyway, he said, this game showed me we never have a chance in big games with Harbaugh. Once again, we had a ton of penalties that cost us points on drives. Harbaugh never has his team disciplined in critical moments. If Tomlin was a coach of this team last year, we'd have won the Super Bowl last season. I really don't want to bring this up, but Tucker, man, oh my goodness, I was one of the people who thought that we should leave him in and let him figure this kicking thing out. Tucker's kicking big is becoming a huge problem to the point where you probably want to go for it instead of kicking it. That is a real possibility. I thought they were going to do that depending on the down and distance. I mean, not the down, but depending on the distance from the first down. Like if it was a fourth down, you might think about, you know what, let's lead the offense out there. But anyway, he said, I have no idea what the Ravens do about this, but they need to do something. On the bright side, this was the defense's best game. I hope they can build on this performance for the rest of the season. We agree. Kyle Hamilton is the best player on his defense. He sure is. He really is by far, in my opinion. He said, and the Ravens better be prepared to give him whatever he wants. Another week of a stressful game that we should have won. Thanks for reading my question. And just like Henry was on a two-point conversion, I'm out. Next question came from my guy Joshua. He said, love the videos, appreciate what you do. Nah, I appreciate you, Josh. He said, how do you feel about the Ravens defense heading into future games against the Steelers, and your opinion on how Tre'Davious White played? As far as Ravens defense, I love what I saw from them in that last game against the Steelers. If they can just capitalize on that and continue that, they'll be in great shape, because offense is not going to continue to have a bunch of days like they had against the Steelers. So I ain't worried about the offense, but I'm worried about the mentality of this team against teams like the Steelers and teams like the Chiefs. So they got to get that right. And as far as Tre'Davious White, I think it would not be a problem, in my opinion. I know it might sound crazy to some, but if he ended up just being a starter. Next question came from my guy LaVar. He said, another expected loss. The Ravens' offensive struggles versus the Steelers and Chiefs continue. Seems like our entire offense for the first three quarters is non-existent. Then they expect LJ to turn into Superman when the fourth quarter comes while trailing. His combined record against both teams is 2-9. Would you say they are kryptonites? Oh, they are for sure. They certainly are. He said, furthermore, hopefully we won't have to play either one of those teams in the playoffs. Now, with that part, I disagree. Because, well, I mean, I wouldn't mind if somebody else eliminated them. Cool. Because however Ravens got to get to the Super Bowl, get there. But you can't be running from no team. You can't be shying away from no teams. You need to handle your business, because think about it. Like, your business is going to have to get handled. If you want to be a Super Bowl team, your business has to get handled. It has to. Like, so you're going to have to get through some tough teams, some of the best teams in the AFC. And then, of course, the best team in the AFC, whoever lasts the longest on that side. So you got to be on point, and you got to face your – you got to exercise those issues that you've been going against every single week, but when you play the Steelers and the Chiefs. So you can't run from it. Next question came from my guy Sean. He said, what's up, bro? My quick take on this rivalry game. I'm very happy and very excited about what I saw today. The Ravens defense as a whole play lights out. The personnel changes that were made should show the coaching staff that Ardarius Washington needs to start at free safety position, and Tre'Davious White, whom I was not looking forward to watching, really earned some snaps moving forward. He sure did. He said, I believe that in this game we fixed some huge issues we needed to moving forward on our Super Bowl run. Yes, we only got it done on one phase out of three, but the phase we got it done was the most glaring weakness we had all season. I strongly believe the offense just had a hiccup and will continue to perform at a league-leading level as they have been. But if this defense is really fixed and continues to show up for the rest of the season like they did today without the offense and special teams hiccups, I do, but I don't feel sorry for the rest of the NFL. I agree with it. I love it. He said, I commend the honor of Justin Tucker for not throwing Jordan Stout under the bus. I don't believe the issue is Justin Tucker at all. I believe it's Jordan Stout. Placeholding issues that are causing the missed field goals. And one thing I have noticed on the offensive that the offensive shows the level of receivers we have when we face a tough defense. Ooh, that's a good point. The wide receivers run their routes, but when they see trouble, they don't try to get open or come back and to Lamar to try to make the play. Only Mark Andrews and Zay Flowers deviate from routes to scramble and get open when Lamar is in trouble. Isaiah Likely also scrambles, but Nelson Agholor and Rashad Bateman just stand there and watch, and that is a problem. I've been with Team Keep It Clean for a long time, and you know I have always been on the Tylan Wallace over Rashad Bateman train since the beginning. I believe Tylan Wallace has a dog in him, and if he leaves in free agency before getting the proper chance in B-more, he will show up and show out elsewhere. He has that Steve Smith senior in him. And all in all, if we clean up the penalties and they work with Jordan Stout on a placeholder and the defense continues to play like they play today, I believe we will be okay. I know the NFL is about wins and losses, but sometimes when you lose on paper, you learn. And today we learned who needs to play personnel wise on defense and with Todd Monken, and that Todd Monken is not yet a head coach ready because his play calling is still sporadic at times. And if we work out the kinks, we will win this division as well as the third Super Bowl for the Baltimore Ravens. I hope that the family is well. Wish you much success. Until next time, I'm out, brother. One. I agree. I still think Todd Monken will get a shot at being a head coach for sure. Because one game don't change. And I know there have been sporadic calls throughout, but when you look at the big picture overall with Todd Monken and what he's done with this offense, like, you lit two seasons. I know Lamar's Lamar. Ain't nobody like Lamar. But two seasons straight, like last season and this season, Lamar is in a race for MVP. He obviously won it last year, and then this year he could win it again. So it's, yeah, that don't happen by chance. So Todd Monken still get a shot. He also said the best team doesn't always win. It's the team that plays the best that day. Next question came from my guy Nigel. He said, what's good? Defense looks amazing. We'll see if this was an outlier or if it's finally figured out. I know Trey White will be a good addition, but my issue is John Harbaugh is soft. This team plays like it all the time. Well, against those two teams, they do. But anyway, he said, King Henry has 13 carries, didn't get a touch in the fourth quarter. Like, go to Todd's office and cut the lights and lock the door until he learns his lesson and stop taking him off the field. Does Saquon come off the field as much? No, exactly. Well, yeah, with that, it's, we got to look at context. Yeah, he didn't get touches in the fourth quarter, but there were the penalties. The Ravens had like two or three drives in the fourth quarter. One of those drives, they got a touchdown. That was that last one, Zay Flowers. But the other drives, penalties. Penalties just ended up making those drives end up being way longer on first down. Ended up going from first and 10 to like first and 20. So that took Derrick Henry off the field. Now, I still think that it would be a good idea to get him incorporated even more in the passing game. And they have been slowly, very slowly. But Derrick Henry could do damage in the passing game as well. He don't be dropping the ball. He don't get many passes thrown his way, but he don't be dropping the ball. And when you get him going, especially in the screen game and whatnot too, yeah, Derrick Henry could do some damage. Anyway, he says, scared to bench Brandon Stevens. He gives up plays every week. Makari, what are you doing? If you're going to play like this, sit on the bench because Ben Cleveland needs to be in the game. Zay Flowers is not a number one. Every week, massive drops by the receiving core. How do you lose a perfectly thrown ball and then stop trying to body catch? Get Tez on the field ASAP. Oh, you want to see Tez walk? Ooh. He said, likely. How do you get stripped by Patrick Queen? He's been talking garbage all summer. Did you not know the schedule? Tucker keeps decaying in front of our eyes. Oh, my goodness. He said, get Harbaugh out of here. Always losing to Tomlin, who is not soft and scared to bench people. Pathetic. Justice, get the ball snatched out of his hands by a rookie. I'm out like the offense letting Lamar Jackson down every week. They get their soft behinds off the field. You, Nigel, this ain't no clean email. I had to clean up a lot of stuff. So you need to keep it clean, my friend. Oh, that boy Nigel was going off, man. Anyway, next question came from my guy Malachi. He said the same melody over and over. How you doing, Engraven? Hope you and the family are doing well. I'm just going to go ahead and hop straight into it. I don't know why I expected the outcome to be different. As soon as Henry fumbled the ball, I literally said, here we go again. Mike Tomlin already exposed us last year by saying we are predictable. And I thought maybe Hood, Harbaugh, and the Ravens will finally put it to rest, but history has a funny thing of repeating itself. It's like for the past 5 years, all of our losses have been the exact same way. One side of the ball decides not to show up, whether it's drops, O-line breaking down, fumbles, and the worst of all, penalties. I just don't get it. How can the Ravens coaching staff not have these guys ready to play and be disciplined? It's the same thing in every single loss. Props to the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, but I just can't deliberately say they came out and just dominated us. For once, can the Ravens let someone else take the gun and let them shoot themselves in the foot? And no, I'm not going to settle by saying it's just one loss when this one loss is exactly how we've been losing when it matters most. Like a melody playing over and over again. I'm tired of it and I want it to end. Harbaugh has this moment, but his time is done and we need a change. But just like when Harbaugh and the Ravens are facing the Steelers or the Chiefs, I'm out. Yeah, it has been. And I appreciate you saying that. Like, yeah, some people can say, oh, it's just one loss. But the fact that stuff keeps happening the same way over and over and over, that's a big issue. Oh, line. Next question came from my guy, Giovanni. He said, what's up, Engraven? Hope all is well with you and the family, brother. I'd like to start with a big sigh of relief. Steelers week is finally over. Now we know where we're standing in our division and can move forward. Kind of like that forward thinking. He said, our offensive line is showing that it hasn't been their blocking that's been great. It's been Henry and Lamar who have been great enough to break tackles and make plays to make them look good on paper. No, I wouldn't say all that. Now, they are overrated. I would say that. But they've had some good moments. But, yeah, that pass blocking can be rough a lot of times. Run blocking sometimes, too. It just depends on who they're going against as well. He said, defense looks great, but at a cost. We won't get as much of Kyle being super-duper playing up at the line being super-duper. Honestly, from what I see, we beat ourselves yet again. But my question to you is, now that we see the offensive line as being an issue, as they've been almost all year, is there a change that can be or should be made? I ask because Makari stopped a lot of our progress with penalties, and there were a few times he did not handle his own Ben Cleveland. Next question came from my guy, God King Jaffe. He said, Engraven, could you please tell Todd Monken he needs a quick game? Lamar spends too much time looking downfield. Lamar needs to concentrate on getting the ball out of his hands quickly, then take his shots downfield when the DBs move up. I think it all depends. It all depends on how the game is going. Can't tell, all right, Lamar, stop looking downfield. Only take the short stuff. No, because that's why you go downfield so you can get big chunk plays and move the offense downfield a little bit faster. It all just depends. But anyway, he said, now I do agree though that they need to incorporate more short games like that. If Steelers taking away everything downfield, if downfield ain't working, then you got to switch it up too. He said, that was the difference in the whole game. At the end of the game, Lamar was getting the ball out of his hands quickly. If he had been doing that the whole game, we would have scored 7 touchdowns. But they waited till the end of the game to put the quick game in action. We should have gotten there much, much faster. And that's what the game is about. It's about making adjustments, but making them as early as you possibly can. can. And at the same time, while you make adjustments, the other team, they can make adjustments as well. So it's a chess match. Next question came from my guy Oreo Cookie. He said, "Hey, Raven, I hope you're well. I've now maintained being 170 to 175 pounds. Oh, shout out to you, man. I know you are a lot more than that, and now you're way down. That's real right there." He said, "With Brandon Stevens disappointing me and being in the contract year, do we let him go and draft another quarterback?" Yes, Brandon Stevens is not going to get re-signed by the Baltimore Ravens. I think there's absolutely no way that they re-sign Brandon Stevens at all. And he said, "Do we let him go and draft another corner and pay Humphrey again?" I don't think they would pay Humphrey again. They drafted Nate Wiggins. They drafted TJ Tampa. They signed Tre'Davious White. They could just sign him to a little small extension. He ain't going to cost much money. We'll see what happens with Desmond King as well. So they got plenty of options. He said, "What position should we spend a first rounder on? Hopefully the 32nd pick." Your thoughts? Offensive line, you could spend it on a guard. Defensive line, you can spend it on a big-time disruptive defensive lineman. There's a linebackers, there's a pass rush, like a dominant pass rusher in college. It just got to be somebody that's like that, that's really dominant, that's going to make a big difference on this Baltimore Ravens team. And I mean, you obviously a first round pick, they're going to make a big difference on the team because they're going to be playing a lot. They expected to play a lot, but that's what needs to be.